This is In Focus on WSIU. Southern Illinois ornithologist and ecologist Mike Baltz is back with his monthly essay on the natural history of this place we call home.
I've been making a lot of trips between Carbondale and St. Louis lately, mostly taking family to and from the airport, but I don't mind the drive. As barren as things can look in the roadside fields and forests in winter, there are always birds to be on the lookout for. I enjoy seeing the mesmerizing murmurations of blackbird flocks in the fields. I scan the open ground for trumpeter swans, and I look for bald eagles. One bird species that is not hard to see is the ubiquitous red-tailed hawk. And along some stretches of road, there seems to be a hawk perched on top of a fence post about every 20 fence posts. So let's talk about red-tailed hawks. The red-tailed hawk is North America's most common large hawk, known for its distinctive brick-red tail color. And its call is famously used in movies as the default raptor call of the wild. Red-tailed hawks are permanent residents in southern Illinois, but they are more numerous here in winter as individuals from the far north join our Illinois birds. As would be expected from a species that occurs from Alaska to Central America and from California to Maine and the West Indies, there is a lot of variation in the way red-tailed hawks look, and there are currently at least 14 recognized subspecies. Back here in southern Illinois, red-tailed hawks don't start breeding until they are about 3 years old, so a lot of the birds we see are in immature plumages, with only adults sporting the red tails. As you might expect, red-tailed hawks build large stick nests near the tops of tall trees, usually at the edge of the forest, and they do their hunting over open fields. Fun fact, female birds of prey, in general, are larger than males, which is not the norm among birds, and interestingly, there's no scientific consensus on why that is. So, moving right along, red-tailed hawk courtship begins during the winter, and eggs are laid mid-March to April. There is a long fledgling period during which time the young birds learn how to hunt. Red-tailed hawks are opportunistic generalists when it comes to their diets, with a preference for rodents. And if it seems like you are seeing more red-tailed hawks than you did when you were a kid, you're right. Their populations have been increasing steadily over the last 50 years, compared to many other bird species that have experienced significant declines since the mid-1960s. But a relatively recent threat to red-tailed hawks, and all birds of prey really, is the increasing use of rodent poisons, especially second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides. These poisons are known as second-generation because they were developed after rodents build up resistance to earlier rodenticides. These poisons don't kill rats and mice immediately. Rather, the animals survive for a while and become easy pickings for hawks and other birds of prey. That's bad news, because when birds eat the poisoned rodents, then they become secondarily poisoned. The most obvious symptom of a poisoned bird is bleeding from the mouth. Other symptoms include lack of coordination, tremors, and difficulty perching. These poisoned birds are often rescued and brought to animal care facilities. A study published in 2020 by the Tufts School of Veterinary Medicine showed that 100% of red-tailed hawks admitted to their clinic tested positive for the presence of rodenticides. Unfortunately, most rescued birds did not survive, and one can only imagine how many birds died in the wild. I think about all this as I drive along and see those red-tailed hawks perched on fence posts. In the end, friends, I think the take-home message here is that in this world, everything is connected. And we humans never do just one thing when we interact with nature. So please, keep that in mind the next time you are tempted to put out some poison for a mouse or any other kind of plant or animal killing chemical. Remember, everything is connected and we're all in this together.
That's Southern Illinois ornithologist Mike Baltz. You can listen to Nature Notebook on air and online at WSIU.org.